Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Greetings, everyone. Are you able to hear me fine?
Yes, I hear you very fine. Can you hear me fine?
Okay, perfect. No, because we'll talk about it. But welcome, everybody, to Blacks in Business Radio. We are here December 7th, 2017. I am Cece Harry, joined by my co-host, brother, Robert Levinex. How are you, brother Robert?
Wonderful. And you, Cece, how are you?
I am excellent. Excellent on this very, very chilly, chilly December day. Can you believe that this year is winding up, winding down, or whatever you want to call it, but it's almost over?
It's clocking out. That's for sure.
It is clocking out. And everybody's hopefully gathering up their New Year's resolutions and all that good old stuff that people tend to do. I say you need to have a resolution every day. Like, every day you should be trying to have a better life. If that means you need to exercise or you need to, whatever goals that you may have, you should place those before yourself every day. Don't just make it some huge New Year's Eve resolution, because I think studies show that those fail. So just try to do better every day. That's what I say, you know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, just take it a little bit at a time. It's better to take one bite of the elephant to eat them up than try to eat them all at one time. You know what I'm saying? That cliche they say, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Well, I mean, approach life like that. I mean, because, you know, you can desire something and you can jump in so fast and immediately burn yourself out. So I say, don't just know in your mind that this, you got something that you want to achieve, and you don't even have to verbalize it to anybody but yourself. And then just do a little bit at a time. Don't, you know, just a little bit at a time, and then as you progress, you'll start feeling good about it. You know, I just started working out, and I just started with my pull-ups. At one point in time, I could do 25, 40 pull-ups at one time. Now, I can only do, well, I can do 5 pull-ups today, but when I first started 3-4 days ago, shit, I was good to do 1. So don't nobody hear this and try to test me, okay? I want y'all to understand. Don't play with me now, but you know, because I'm exposing a little. You know, they say, oh, I can get them now, but no, you know, you just have to really just be happy with what you could do and just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually, a year from now, I'll be back to 50 pull-ups at one time with no problem. You know what I'm saying? If you take that long. So, you know, do it in moderation. You're not trying to prove nothing to anybody but yourself. But if you want to stay consistent with it, don't burn yourself out too fast.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, one of the biggest problems is us comparing ourselves to other people. And that gets a little old, because the only person that you can be is you. You know, it gets a little bit tiring trying to be other people and comparing yourself and trying to make yourself look the part. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to be a slouch, you know, or just don't care and don't take a bath and all this other stuff, but I'm saying just, you know, look at yourself in the mirror, be honest about whatever it is that you need to do for yourself to make the necessary changes, because we all need to make the necessary changes, whether it be in our personal lives or business lives or whatever. We all have changes that we need to make. You know, we are all supposed to be striving toward perfection. You know, we're not going to be perfect, but, you know, striving toward perfection and just, you know, being better mentally, spiritually, physically, you know, and in your business, of course. That's always the goal. So as this year is wrapping up, you know, you all just think about those things. Think about just trying to be a better you on a daily basis. Okay. So, Robert, today, I believe that we are talking about a subject that is still a little up in the air for people. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin. You know, if you've tuned into Tando Radio, which Tando Radio comes on every single day before, well, every single day, we're not every single day, but every single day, I think 3 p.m., I want to say 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's what I want to say. Tando Radio comes on, and Dave Wren is the host, and he talks about all these things, world events, all the things that you should know about in this changing climate. So today, he is on with us, and he's going to talk to us about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to talk to us about just all kinds of different things, because nobody really has a concrete plan concerning these changing times. You know, we got Bitcoin. You know, is he still talking about Forex? Are we still into precious metals? You know, people are getting all kinds of information from all over the place, and we need to make sure that we have solid information from somebody that is known and trusted in our community versus outside of our community. Dave Wren, you know, Dave definitely knows what he's talking about, and I so appreciate the fact that he's chosen to come on with us today. So, Robert, do you have some questions about Bitcoin? Is it something that you thought about investing in?
Well, I mean, looking at the how fast this thing is gaining ground, you know, the value of it is what I'm looking at. I remember when it first came out, when it hit, it was, you know, you could get it for almost nothing. Now you're talking about $17,000 to purchase a Bitcoin. That's what the value of it is, from zero to $17,000. And I'm talking, just the other day I was listening into a conversation, and it was like at $14,000, and within 2 or 3 days, the value increased already to right at $17,000 now. So it's really something that you really need to pay attention to, I think. And once I get a little more information in it, you know, I may want to put $100 here and there into it, or, you know, whatever I can into it, just to see what it do. I just got off the phone with a young guy that James Hill, somebody that used to work with me when he was a youngster, and now he's into real estate, and he also shared with me that he buys Bitcoin, and there's a couple of other
cryptocurrencies
like that. Yeah, cryptocurrencies out there like that, and he was telling me how, I mean, he's made $10,000. He said in the last, if I'm not mistaken, he said in the last 30 days. I was like, whoa. You know, that's a pretty nice amount of money to make, but I don't know what the investment was to make that $10,000. And then he told me about some other things. I told him to call in. He said that you can lend these cryptocurrency out, bitcoins, and make some type of interest off of lending it out. So he sounded like he was into it himself on a much deeper level. So I told him to call into the show, man, to share that, because I don't know anything about that. He was just edging me on, like, Brother Rob, you really need to check this out. I was like, well, we gonna see. We gonna hear about it tonight. I know Davis is very, very sharp with what he talks about when it comes to the economics. And I'm looking forward to getting more information about it myself.
Okay. Well, me too, most definitely. I mean, I kind of tuned in, like, as I think Dave was talking about it, well, a while back. So at first I was, like, tuned in, but then I was tuned out. I mean, admittedly, I tuned out. I mean, I don't know. It's just, like, it's always something. And we have to really flush out all of the noise in order to really zone in on those things that are not just mattering for today, but for the future. You know, everybody's talking about something, but you know, the endless chatter is just not going to stop. But what are the things that we really need to, you know, clue in on? So what we're going to do is we are definitely going to be talking to Dave and asking him to get with us on this subject matter. So we're going to go ahead and let him on right now. Greetings, Dave. Do we have you on the line?
I am here, CC. What's going on, sister? The golden voice of Black Talk Radio Network. What's happening, Brother Robert X 11? What's going on, brother? Much love, much respect to you as well.
Likewise, brother. Glad to have you here.
Always. This is
okay.
Home. This is home.
Yes. Absolutely. We are in the house together, about to eat a meal. All right, Dave. So
that's it.
This is the thing. This is the thing, like, you know, there is so much beyond buzz around Bitcoin. I mean, it's pretty serious now. And Robert and I were listening to something on Facebook today. I don't know what it was, some kind of program. And they were talking about how it was just increasing as we were talking. Now, my thought is it's increasing because more people are, you know, tuning in and joining and like being a part of it. So for those that don't understand what Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is, let us know.
Yeah, you know, I will just put my spin on it and would definitely want to do that. And one of the things about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, it's been around much longer than what people actually are looking at. If you really think about it, digital currency is cryptocurrency. And it's actually been around since you've opened up your bank account. Your bank account is a digital currency. Whenever you go to the bank and you ask them for your balance so that you can see your balance, or you look at your balance online, okay, that is crypto. That's a digital imprint of the currency that you're supposed to have in your account. So we've always been in cryptocurrency, really, for a very long time. Any of us that have credit cards, your credit card is a digital currency. It's a cryptocurrency. And so it's been around for a very long time. And the word Bitcoin in itself is not anything new. It's actually been around from the 1700s. But one of our listeners on Tando Radio Show actually sent something that was, it went back even further. So that is not new. So to me, this is what the crypto space is all about. It is a currency. It's not money, and I think that's very, very important. And how you can determine a currency versus a money is this: if man created it, it's a currency. If the great creator, God Almighty, has created it, then it's money. It has intrinsic value. So right now, there's a big craze around the cryptocurrency space known as Bitcoin and the other coins and tokens and everything in the crypto space, because in my opinion, that's the economy pushing everyone into a cashless society so that it can use that to their leverage. Now, is Bitcoin going up? Oh, absolutely. I actually got into Bitcoin back in 2011, and that's what actually helped me start our precious metals business. Luckily for me, we sold it a little early. Took the proceeds from that and turned it into started our precious metals business. And lucky at that time, because then Mt. Gox, a exchange, was taken down by the U.S. government, and a bunch of bitcoins became missing. And once those bitcoins became missing, I knew that Bitcoin was going to go to the heights that we see now but I didn't know the time frame that that would happen. So I've been in it for a while, dabbled in it, held on to some coins for a very long time, and now I leverage those coins, because that's what you should do with currency. You should always use currency to leverage, to acquire control of assets. So I use it just like any other currency to acquire assets. That way, I'm better protected, and it serves myself, and it serves my overall purpose for me as an individual and as a controller of a business. So for me, that's what the crypto space is. And now I will say this, the crypto space is here to stay. It is absolutely here to stay, because it gives the financial markets more control over the everyday person. I know that there's a story that they said that how Bitcoin came about. I don't buy the story. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense. One of the things that you'll hear about Bitcoin, and they'll always publicize this and advertise it, that it's a decentralized currency. Well, let's think about that for a minute. How in the world can you be decentralized on a centralized internet system? And so it's not decentralized. So that is really pushed a lot. And I know that that gets a lot of people that actually gets their interest to think that they're sticking it to the man. Well, the very same industries that created cash currency or the paper currencies are the ones that's driving the cryptocurrency. So if we know those things, then we'll know to properly protect ourselves and to leverage ourselves accordingly with all of the risk that will be involved with it. There are risks with the cryptocurrencies. Some of the risk is hacking, majorly. Another risk is that you physically really don't control it. I mean, you have less control over a cryptocurrency than you even do cash. So what does that mean? In the future, here's what's really important about that. In the future, governments will be able to tax you much easier. You won't be able to go, like if someone is getting paid under the table, how are they going to be paid under the table when they've removed all cash out of the system? Because right now, the big push with Bitcoin is that where people, they had to come up with a way to get people to want to discard cash and to get into something new. And how do you do it? Generate a currency that just skyrockets, and everybody will do what? Pay attention to it. See, one of the things that we talk about is never, ever save in a currency. You should only save in an asset. So now with this craze of Bitcoin, you should use it to your advantage. Just don't save in it, because it's not a savings vehicle. So in the future, now people were able to get paid under the table. Well, think about it. If there's no cash anymore, and you can't, there's only so much that you can barter, okay? There's only so much you can barter, right? And you can't barter for a very long time. Everyone has to be on a bartering system in order, because not everyone has what you need, and you don't have what everyone else needs. So when you look at the system, now with the crypto space, every transaction is going to be what? Monitored, recorded, and could have legal ramifications from. So you can't just hide now. You won't be able to hide on it. They say that you remain anonymous and everything else. Well, if you remain anonymous, how can you have something sent from one wallet to another wallet? That other wallet has to recognize where it's going, correct? So in recognizing where it's going, that's going to be tied to someone else. And we give up so much information from our Facebooks and our all these other things. There is no place to hide in the digital space. So what this really does is it gives the government even more leverage for tax revenue collection. They'll be able to collect taxes even more, because you won't be able to have any economic transaction without it being dutifully recorded. So there's a lot of now that's some of the bad things. Here's some of the good things about it. If you look at it and use it, I always say that you use cash as leverage to acquire assets. if you do that, right now is the, you know, a great, great time for you to do that. Because one of the things that you want to do is, how can you get into cryptocurrency at the smallest margins but have the greatest return that you can now take and do what? Acquire real assets, assets of real estate, assets of relationships with people. And that's one asset that we always seem to overlook. Assets of silver and gold, assets of tangible things that have have intrinsic value. And if you do that, you're winning. You're definitely, definitely winning. And you, what you're going to be able to do is be a part of the transferring of wealth, because we're coming out of a debt-based economy, and now we're moving into an asset-based economy. And the crypto space is definitely going to facilitate that. And I think that's very, very important. So that's just some of my, you know, just speaking off the top of my head about the crypto space and what it really is. Been in it for a while, been aware of it, actually done very well in different spaces. I've made, you know, we made investments from $1,000 that turned out to be $50,000 in a very short order of time, like 2 weeks. And you're only able to do that really right now in the cryptocurrency space. So we were able to do some of those things. So it has its, you know, its benefits, but I just hope that people don't think that it's something other than what it is, because that's the trick. You know, that's, mm-hmm. Well, that's not the trick. That's what the system wants you to believe. And so if we right. do that, then we'll be, you know, in a better position to leverage it accordingly.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's invite people who are on. If you are listening right now and you're online, just press ** and you can come on and ask Dave any questions you want to ask. But our number is 1-866-510-9025. Also, 704-802-5056. Please make sure that you do call in and ask your questions, because this is very important that you know. I've had some of my questions answered right away. I mean, I'm still, you know, kind of green with this cryptocurrency. I'm kind of like an old lady, I guess. I like my cash in my pocket. But, you know, if you've been listening to Dave for a while, you know that that is not very wise. I mean, it's just not very wise to think of cash that way. Now, Dave, I was thinking today, now, we were watching this Facebook Live, and this guy was talking about, it sounded like to me he was basically telling people to just dump everything into the Bitcoin. But I'm thinking in my mind that it's sort of like you need to diversify. You know, you need to have many different things available to you. Is that true?
Oh, I definitely would suggest that you do that, yes. And I think that you should ride the sales of something that's doing well and leverage that. But definitely, and you know, what diversification really means is that you're not in one form, you're not exposed, you don't have the same risk. That's where real diversification is really about risk, is that you minimize your risk. If you put everything in currency, then your risk to the overall default of currency is great. And most of us do that. You know, in the investment world, they say, hey, you should diversify your portfolio. You should have real estate. You should have stocks and bonds, and you should have cash. Well, if you really think about what they're telling you, they're actually telling you to not, you're actually not diversified, because the land that they're telling you to acquire is actually debt. You have a mortgage of something, and so uh-huh. you have debt of that. And then they say stocks and bonds. Stocks is a debt. Bond is a debt. That's what it means. And stocks is a paper, piece of paper that you have shares in a company. That's debt. Then they say you should have cash, another form of debt. Then they tell you have silver and gold. And the silver and gold that they tell you to have is paper silver and gold that's in the commodities markets. That's paper debt. So are you diversified? Absolutely not. You got the same same debt instrument of paper. And everything, wow. You know, what's the old saying? That what? Paper is what? It's only worth the paper is written on, meaning paper has no what? Value at all.
Wow. It's worth the paper it's written crazy.
On.
Yeah, that's crazy, especially for people who are not, you know, abreast of what we're talking about. Like, they've kind of been in one world and they're just now, you know, in tune to what's going on as far as, like, the world changes and everything. So tell us what you would consider to be assets. You said something about real estate being an asset. What else is assets?
Yes. I consider real estate asset. Yes, it's a form of money because it has there's an intrinsic value, because it's real estate is, if you're talking about land itself, is a living being. The land itself, the earth itself, is a living being. So what does that mean? That it can bring forth sustainable life energy. This is where you can grow crops out of it. You can farm it. You cultivate it. So that's, you know, very, very important. You know, the one thing that I think that's necessary is try not to attach a bond to it, a mortgage, debt to it, because then that will supersede the overall land. Then there's other items that are assets. You have your arts. You have your cars. You have collectibles. Some of those things have intrinsical value, and that's where their value is more than their speculative value. I would always say try to get something that has more intrinsic value, meaning it can do something. That's an asset. It's a physical, tangible asset. This is why many will diversify themselves out of cash and get into collectibles, which is, you know, it has real value. Also, you know, of course, the physical metals is another form of real money. Relationships, you know, relationships is probably the most overlooked asset of all of the asset classes, because having a good relationship and having collective prudence with people, that in itself is an asset that's priceless, is absolutely mm-hmm. priceless. And that's one thing that we really don't cultivate, because the system does not want us to cultivate those types of relationships, because if we develop relationships with people, then we'll be giving our energy to them and to the people and not giving our energy to the system. So who loses there? The system loses. Because the system can only survive when we give energy to it. And so there are many forms of assets, and that we should be engaging in. I always like to put it this way. I always look at it, as I said earlier, if the great creator has made it and given it to us as a token of harmony and sustainability, that's money. That's an asset. If man has created it, that's currency. I try to stay away from currency. I use currency to acquire assets. I never, ever sell assets to get currency.
Can you explain to the listening audience the two different the difference between intrinsic value, and you said another one, what was the other value? Intrinsic value, and you said something else, Dave.
Yes. One second. How that works with this. Intrinsic value means this. It, because it exists, it can do something. An ounce of silver has intrinsic value because it can purify water. It can, it's antimicrobial, it's antibacterial. So because it exists, it brings about sustainability for life, maintaining life. Land, it has intrinsic value because you can grow food out of it. You can build shelter from it. It can, so that is, it gives sustainability of life, okay? Relationships is a form of money, because from relationships you can develop and maintain the overall species, the carrying on of the species. You can develop tactics and procedures and policies and culture. You can establish culture where you can learn the things in order to have sustainability. That's the intrinsic meaning. It gives sustainable life forces. Cash gives you no sustainable life form at all. You know, it's nothing more than credit. Cash is nothing more than credit. And credit is a what? Is a promise to pay. How many promises have been broken on paying? Practically all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definitely true. Well, it just kind of reminds me of, you know, just the space that we're in. We have been fed like just a la-la land lifestyle, you know. Some people are interested in finding out what they need to find out for the future, but a lot of people are just still in the now. And I definitely am not in the now. I want to know what we need to know for the future. And you mentioned before, Dave, about collectibles being an asset. And it's funny because Robert and I just this week went to an estate sale. Now, I've been interested in estate sales for a while, and I started my own estate sale business on Facebook now. So I will be looking to do estate sales and become an auctioneer. So that would definitely be a great place to start getting collectibles and just really getting that knowledge and information and that eye about what is valuable. Hello.
David?
Uh-oh. I think David disappeared. Let me see if I can see what happened here. For some reason it says that he's muted. I don't know what happened, man.
I don't know why.
Maybe he accidentally muted himself. Let me see if I can figure this out. Let me see if I can figure it out. Scotty's there. Scotty, can you unmute Dave from your end? I'm not sure why it's muted. Can anybody hear us? let's see. No, I hear you and you hear me, but, you know... it's frozen. It's saying that he's frozen or he's muted. Let's see, how did I do this?
Just had someone to inbox me. They said they tried to call in at 1-866-510-9015 and they could not get through.
What happened?
I don't know. He said, can't be. Called as dialed, and nothing happened. So I just sent it back to him.
1-866-510-9025.
9025?
Yes.
I thought it was 15. 9025. Okay. Let me see what number I called.
Yeah. I mean, on the flyer we did today, it said 9025. Anyway, so I'm not sure what's going on, but basically we are in the middle of speaking with Dave, who was talking to us about Bitcoin. But as I'm looking at the computer, I am seeing where it's having him muted, but there's some kind of strange activity. And then when I look at the phone... and I click in, it's showing
Sister CC, he's not on the board.
Yes.
He's not on the board. He's not on the board. I'm gonna try to call him back. He knows how to unmute himself, so that's not him.
Oh. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened then. Okay.
He probably just had a drop call.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, we are talking, and the Uber conference, they actually have updated their system, because if you can do this from your iPhone now.
And Android.
If you click on that link.
Android as well, because I had an Android app.
Oh, okay. Because before it wasn't looking like this, but now you can totally see the board. I'm like, oh, they came up. That's wonderful. Yeah. So anyway, so Dave is talking to us about Bitcoin, and we need to find out some ground level stuff too. Like, okay, can we still invest? If we want to invest, I know before we could get in for $50, Is he still talking about $50, or since it's gone up now is it like twice that, or is it, what is it now? So we
Sister
definitely
CC,
need to find that out so that we can, huh?
That's a question. If we get him back, I'm trying to get him back now, but that's a question that I have, and from what I've read, that's my understanding. It's still like the stock market. You know, the stock, they have like what called penny stocks, or if a new company launches or something, that stock might be at $10, and then it continues to rise. So the same thing with Bitcoin. And from what I'm reading, and I would like Dave to clarify, or somebody to clarify it, because you can, like, one Bitcoin is worth $17,000. So the only way that a lot of people can buy into that is to, like, get $200 worth or $300 worth, considering that's the currency we working with. And as long as you leave that invested, every time, whatever percentage point that Bitcoin rises, then, you know, you have the same earnings, okay? Same percentage points on what you initially invested. So you get $500 worth of Bitcoin, and then it goes up, let's say, another $500, a whole Bitcoin, then I would take that. You would be doubling your money. So I'm not sure. That's why I would like Dave to clarify that. But, yeah, let me text him, because something could be going on. His phone could be dead. But let me text him and see what's going on, Sister Cece.
Oh, okay. I hope his phone's not dead. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, you all, thank you still for joining us. You are listening to Blacks in Business Radio. This is what happens sometimes. And we're at home. It's okay. We're in the living room. We're talking. And we're talking Bitcoin. Dave Wren of Tando Radio. If you'd like to know more information about current events and what you should be doing, you should listen to Tando Radio. You can call in at 1-866-510-9025 or also 704-802-5056. If you are on already and you would like to speak, just press **. We can go ahead and let you in into the conversation while we get Dave back. What I really want Dave to talk about too is the Forex, because before we were talking Forex, and this is like months back, and I don't know, I just have kind of tuned out to all of it because it just seems like a bit much. But again, if you're interested in securing things for the future, you should definitely be in on the conversation. Definitely have a go-to person, and just stay up on things so that you know what you should know about these things. Because the times are always changing. The climate is always changing. And you have to still be knowledgeable. I mean, you don't want to be trying to spend dollars and there's no more dollars left. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we know that money basically has lost its value. And from what Dave is saying, they're going to this Bitcoin system. So, Robert, what did you think about what he said? I mean, I was like, wow, when he said, basically you can only barter so far. And now if you are like working under the table, nobody's really going to be able to pay you under the table because Bitcoin, you know, it's there. Like, everybody can see what's going on, you know, for tax purposes and all that. And you can see what's going on. So there's no going to be no more under the table. What do you think about that?
Well, the one thing that mainly caught my attention was how David said to use that as a tool to get real tangible assets and see, that's what really stood out to me, because see, there are some things that regardless to what currency that we're using, that all of people are going to have to, they're going to need, and the main thing that keeps coming back to the forefront is real estate, land and real estate, you know. And I heard on another show that I was listening to art is another asset that I never even considered art, collectible cards.
Wait a minute. Did you see that show American Greed that I was watching yesterday? That's why I was like so overwhelmed by that. The episode, yes, because art is a big deal.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Let me tell them what the show is about. Hold on, let me tell them. I'm sorry. I got to tell them.
Go ahead.
I love American Greed. I love American Greed. That is my show. I mean, I just love that show. Not because I'm cooking up a scandalous scam, but I just love to see how people have gotten away with this crazy stuff. So we were watching an episode yesterday, and it was crazy because basically there was a guy who came from high society and a guy that was not from anywhere. They had access to a warehouse full of art. That was like bundled up and stored. There was no security. There was no security cameras, none of that. They had an alarm system, but like the docks where the trucks pull the art in or whatever, because it's being stored there, left open all the time. So these people, these two guys, they finally decided, okay, you know what? Nobody's paying attention to this art, because basically the people who own the art were paying for the storage space, but they didn't realize that the people that now own the storage space are different than the people that they were paying before. So they're just basically paying money for no reason. The art is sitting there in this warehouse. So these two guys decided to take, I think, like over 100 pieces of art and start selling them. And it was big because it was here in St. Louis. I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, it was just so exciting. I'm going to have to look up that episode and see if I can share it on Facebook. But I mean, that just shows you that art is definitely valuable. I think we know that, but we really don't get how valuable collectibles and art is. That's why they have that show, Antique Roadshow. Like, you know, if you don't know, like on PBS, the little roadshow people, they come to a location and you can bring in your collectibles or art or whatever, and they'll tell you how much it's valued at.
I think you have a caller on the board.
Huh?
I think you have a caller on the board. There's another St. Louis number, and we're getting some feedback.
Are they trying to talk?
I'm not sure. It's from the same area code.
314. Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just listening, and I had a couple points I wanted to just kind of point out. But
okay, who is this?
You can finish. This is James Hill from St. Louis. I'm with A Lambda Systems and Bracket Coin.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and talk.
I kind of have a bias, kind of a biased perspective from a crypto perspective.
Okay, well, go ahead and talk to us about it. Thank you for joining us, though.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. We're just basically just launching a new coin, and I know you were talking about art and how art, you know, is very valuable. Cryptocurrency in itself is a piece of artwork if you look at it from a programming perspective. So there's a lot of patents that go into these coins that later on are being used as intellectual property. And I know Robert touched on property being a important part of your portfolio, but you want to keep in mind that property comes in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just wanted to just bring, you know, just make that point because, you know, there's a lot of fear surrounding Bitcoin and, you know, the term Bitcoin and all of that. But technically, there's 1,300 different at this point cryptocurrencies on the market that they're totally different than Bitcoin, you know. So to think that there's some issue with anonymity, it's just short-sighted because most of the coins are designed to be anonymous. You know, Bitcoin itself is one of the only ones that's cooperating with, you know, governments in a way to kind of expose their ledger. But a lot of other coins, you know, like Monero is a coin that's completely anonymous still. So you got to keep that in mind. There's a lot of options out there is all I'm saying. And also look at the other applications of coins. At bracketcoin.com, that's a company that me and my team started. a bracket coin is a coin that basically turns a player into a coin. So you have multiple coins, they make a team, and then you can do your fantasy games based on those players that you've bought and purchased. But those values of those players go up and down depending on their live performance the week before. So the value of that coin changes. So that's how that crypto comes into play, you know, as a way for us to kind of broaden our reach into society and, you know, try to do things that are kind of outside the norm, you know, and get into some of these other avenues. You know, I just wanted to kind of just point out some of those ideas and see what you guys thought.
Well, we are totally like green in the situation. All we're doing is just kind of looking. So whatever you're bringing to the table is definitely quite valuable. So how long have you been dealing with the cryptocurrencies?
I've been with crypto for about 7 years, since about 2007.
2007. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, what is it? What does your business do? Is this what you do? You help people to get into these, or what is it that you do exactly? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Our company, Bracket Coin, we're designing the currency and designing the concept of Bracket Coin, and putting out the coins for each player in those brackets. Mm-hmm. So at some point, once those coins go on the market, you'll be able to build your teams and your packages, and play those teams against each other.
And this is in the gaming industry, right, James?
Right. This is in the gaming industry. So like professional sports, tennis. So imagine, you want to do a fantasy bracket game where you had your players and you had a bunch of coins already. So you were able to basically put your team together and put it up against another team, and or just trade players with other people who do the same thing. So and the values of these teams go up over the years. So think of like baseball cards. I don't know if any of you guys ever did baseball cards.
No, I did Garbage Pail Kids, but I understand this value in baseball cards.
Okay. There's a product out right now called CryptoKitties. I don't know if anyone's heard of that.
Mm-mm.
And that's a product that is using the Ethereum blockchain, which is a form of a proof of work blockchain, which is similar to Bitcoin. But Ethereum uses a little bit of a different technology where it has a gas which is attached to each part of the transaction. And that gas can be bought and sold too. So it's a little bit different than Bitcoin, which doesn't do that. They just do a transaction fee.
Hmm. Okay. So if people want to know more about what it is. Oh, go ahead, Robert.
Hold on. So, James. Earlier we talked, this is the young brother I was telling you about, CC, that I talked to earlier, man. I made when we first started the show. But James, you was telling me earlier about this Bitcoin thing, how you can buy it, and then you can also, did you say something to in reference to lending the Bitcoin? Or
right.
Tell us.
Yeah,
about,
yeah.
Talk about that.
Okay, for sure. So what you want to do with Bitcoin is you want to get a hold of Bitcoin, and then once you have the Bitcoin, you want to go to a system of lending where you hold on to your Bitcoin, you don't sell it, and there's platforms out there that will take your Bitcoin and lend you their coin, and while they hold on to your Bitcoin for an exchange rate. And over that during that time, they're trading your Bitcoin on the market with their algorithm, and that's affecting the price of the value of the coin that you're holding of theirs. And they, on top of that, they pay you a dividend every day on that lend that you created. So let's say you put a $2,000 worth of Bitcoin into BitConnect, their coin, they'll turn around and give you probably five of their coins, which is $400 a piece. So what they do is they are going to also give you, while they hold on to that for 200 days, they're going to give you $20 a day in cash. And then at the end of the 200 days, they give you your initial investment back. So if you count it all up, for every $1,000, you're getting $3,000, approximately. Over a 200-day period.
Wow.
So there's some ladders that you can set up, investment ladders, that if you follow them, you'll go, you know, basically reinvest that daily dividend over 61 days. If you don't pull out anything and reinvest, you'll have about 50 loans going at once. So if you get that 20 from that investment, you maybe wait 2 days, you get 40, then lend the 40 out and keep doing that every 2 days. And then by the 60th day, you'll have about 50 or 40 loans going at the same time, and they're all paying every day. So then at some point, when your first loan is over, you accumulated at least $5,000 or $6,000 in compound interest versus regular interest that you would have gotten if you just had single loans going or one big loan. So you're taking, you know, $1,000 and you're really turning into $5,000 with compound interest over 200 days.
Over how long of a period?
100 days. Yeah. So you got to keep in mind they're paying you out every day.
And now, how much work goes into that process? I mean, is it like, and I'm not familiar with trading, but I'm thinking when you're doing trading of any source, you in front of a computer, pretty much for quite a while watching things, the different markets or whatever.
No, not like that anymore in this sense, because BitConnect and a lot of these platforms that will do the lending, they have a trading bot that does that, and nobody really messes with it, and they just let it run, and everybody gets paid off the same bot. So it's one bot running, and everybody's money is pooled in there, and this bot is trading against itself, really, to capitalize on the market. And it creates, you know, that's why Bitcoin is at $16,000, $17,000 like that in one day. You know, it goes up $4,000 because this bot has, like, the perfect algorithm to maximize the profit margin. And what it's doing is it's buying the coins from people in Korea or places where there's a lot of volume. They're buying those volume coins and they're selling them in places like Zimbabwe, where the coins are going for $30,000 right now.
And you were saying that you also made mention, speaking of, I think you said that the coins are being traded a lot in, what was that, Korea?
Right, South Korea right now, they're predominantly using Bitcoin and Ethereum as their normal means of tender. So much so that the prime minister was worried that it was corrupting the youth, because a lot of the youth there are making so much money off Bitcoin, they're not having to work, so there's no workers.
Oh wow, I haven't seen that in the news. Maybe that's one of those things that we skipped over.
No, that's in the news. That's in the news right now. I saw that this morning. And if I was listening to Bloomberg, and they were talking about in Korea that the exchange rate was a lot lower for the Bitcoin and the Won. So if you had the Won currency, you were getting it for like $14,000, and people were going and buying up the Won, and then buying the Bitcoin, getting it cheaper, then to turn around and sell it to Zimbabwe for 30 and like double their money in one night. And wow, what was happening? What's happening is the kids are over there. They're rich. They're you know, that's what they're doing. And all they're doing is reaching out to people in Zimbabwe over the web and getting their Bitcoin address, selling it to them at that price because they can't get it no other way.
Hmm. Well, that's very interesting.
That's because of the way the internet. That's the way the internet is set up through the domains. So, like Zimbabwe, they can't get access to the same like addresses that we can get access to.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying? Like the website addresses, they don't get access to those.
Hmm.
Is that based on a government situation or what?
That is. That's based on the government. The government is regulating that. The government is the main one selling the Bitcoin to the people in Zimbabwe at that inflated price.
Wow.
Because they don't, their currency is so devalued right now that the Bitcoin is actually better and easier to use for their business because they can take that Bitcoin and use it anywhere in the world, but that Zimbabwe dollar don't go everywhere.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is something that really, really, I mean, it's something that has to be looked into to get a understanding. And see, that's the whole thing. Right now, the conversation is like so over my head and majority of the people that I'm sure listening to it. If you're not really into digital currency, the knowledge of digital currency, then this conversation is like way over a lot of people's head. And I'm intrigued with it because I'm in the business, and for me, numbers is what drive me. So when I'm hearing you can take $1,000 and make $5,000 in 200 days, well, I'm looking at that rate of return, and that's like insanity because nowhere in the financial market in America can you do that, period. If you make 15% on a dollar in America in the financial world, that's a big to do. That's a wow. But to say that I can take $1,000 and put it into any vehicle and in 200 days, less than a year, we're talking what, about 8-9 months?
That's about 9 months.
I'm making that kind of return on my money. That's so tempting. Now, the only thing that holds me back for me personally is...
Let me tell you this real quick. 2010, Bitcoin was 8 cents for one Bitcoin, okay?
Damn, 8 cents.
8 cents for one Bitcoin. In 2014, it was only a dollar. So when I was just graduating college, it was a dollar.
Yeah, I remember. Oh my God. So to go from that to 17,000 in that short span of time.
Right, so what you want to ask yourself is, okay, that you got to find some experts and ask them, you know, what is it projected to do? If you look at the forecast, it's outperforming the forecast by about 50% every day. It's doing about, on average, it's doing about $200 a day over the year.
Wow. All I can say is wow on that, you know. And like I was about to say, for me, I'm not a gambling man. I don't gamble. I like to know.
It's not
exactly.
It's not gambling though, because you got to think about it. You're a businessman, so you like to exchange things, right? You know how you like to exchange things that are more valuable, and then spread them out to people that can't get to them, right? And
exactly.
That's where you get your profit.
Yeah.
That's where you get your profit. So essentially, that's the same thing that's happening with Bitcoin. It's using the internet to take all money and then spread it out to where it needs to go. But when it gets to where it needs to go, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of pressure put on it, and that's what's going to drive the price up. So all you have to do is get in between those transactions, and you're going to make money.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to definitely talk. CC, are you still on air?
I'm still here. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, this is one of those things where I'm going to have to eat it a couple times before it actually digests. I'm sorry. You're listening to Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I am Jeremy. This is the Financial Education Channel, and today we're talking Bitcoin for beginners, cryptocurrencies for beginners, guys. This is something I've paid attention to for quite a while, but I've never really like understood cryptocurrencies, never really understood Bitcoin. So about last week, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to research for like a week about Bitcoin, about cryptocurrencies, and really understand these, and at least to the point where I understand the basics. So I'm going to share with you guys all the basics today, kind of like the 11 like most basic things you got to know about Bitcoin, know about these cryptocurrencies, so you can at least understand it. And what's actually pushed me is so many of you guys in the comments section have been asking about Bitcoin, asking about cryptocurrencies, like what are they, those kinds of things. And I'm like, I'm doing my 50,000 subscribers a disservice if I don't look into it and do a video about this. So that pushed me, and here we go, guys. I hope you enjoy this. Leave a thumbs up if you do. Let's get into it. Number one, you got to understand what a cryptocurrency is first off. A cryptocurrency is a digital or virtual currency that can be exchanged between people or businesses that accept them. Bitcoin and what's called Ether is the other biggest cryptocurrency out there, Bitcoin being kind of the main one. Now, anybody that has Bitcoin has a, you can basically set up a Bitcoin account if you want. It's not like a, you need to be a special person from a special, you know, country or something to set this up. Anybody that's willing to accept Bitcoin, you can pay them in Bitcoin, or you can buy, or they can pay you in Bitcoin if you accept it. Same thing with the businesses, and more businesses are now accepting Bitcoin and some of the other cryptocurrencies, but specifically Bitcoin. So it's becoming a more and more popular thing now, guys. So that's basically how it works. It's just a digital virtual currency that you can trade back and forth between people for whatever you're trading back and forth for. Number two, money goes into your Bitcoin virtual wallet. So especially if you have Bitcoin, it goes into what's called a virtual wallet. This is like, think of a physical wallet, right? You have a physical wallet, you have credit cards in there, you have cash in there probably. Well, this goes into a digital form of a wallet, and basically that's where it's kept, that's where the Bitcoins are kept, and however much money you have in there is however much money you have, which is, I don't even know if you could really call Bitcoin money, for instance, but you know, it's a currency at the end of the day. Number three, there's no one in particular who controls the currency. No one in particular controls this currency. Governments cannot manipulate it in the way they can the current currencies, right? All countries out there pretty much at least slightly manipulate their currency. Some are worse than others. Some like do massive manipulations of their currency. They'll buy a bunch of other currencies to devalue their currency or increase value if that's the way they want to go, depending on what they want to do there. Bitcoin, you can't do that. You can't really manipulate Bitcoin. A government can't manipulate it the same way they might want to manipulate the US dollar, or China might want to, you know, manipulate the yuan. So things like that, guys. So it's very...
Very interesting, you know, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's something we might have to get into it on another video sometime. But, you know, government can't really control this the way they can other currencies currently. Number four, cryptocurrencies make it easier to transfer funds between two parties in a transaction. These transfers are facilitated through the use of public and private keys for security purposes. So basically, you want to transfer money to me, you have to do it through a private key first. Once that goes through, then it goes to the public key, which then can go out to the ledger, so it's kept track of, you know, Jeremy paid out Jonathan one Bitcoin or half a Bitcoin or whatever it is, guys. And but it has to go through the private key first, so that I actually did that, right? And it's like agreement between, you know, him and I. And then it goes to the public key, so then everybody can see the transaction out there, guys. So it has to go through two different ways. Number five. Fund transfers are done with minimal processing fees, allowing to avoid the steep fees charged by most banks, financial institutions for wire transfers. So Bitcoin could potentially, and cryptocurrencies in general, could potentially hurt the banks a bit. Now, there's other ways banks will, you know, if these keep going and they keep getting more and more popular cryptocurrencies, the banks will still find ways to make money off this. However, you know, things like wire transfer, very expensive thing to do through most banks, guys. But Bitcoin, you could pay somebody out. If you got a family member in another country, you give them a Bitcoin and cost you literally nothing, guys. So whole different ball game there as far as, you know, between doing a wire transfer of money to someone versus giving Bitcoin to someone, guys. Number six, the blockchain Bitcoin uses to store is an online ledger for all transactions that have been conducted using Bitcoin. So this thing called the blockchain. And on this, it's basically a ledger of all the transactions that go through. And tons of different parties, you know, all keep track of this, all the transactions in the ledger and whatnot. And they can compare them. And then we make sure everything is accurate on that ledger. But it's not like there's one company. It's not like there's one person that keeps track of the ledger. There's a ton of people out there that are keeping track of this ledger. And we'll get into how they do that and those kinds of things in just a minute. But that's basically the thing. It's not like, you go buy something from Walmart right now with your Chase account, right? You got a Chase account or whatever. Chase is going to keep track of that transaction and say, oh, you spent $23 at Walmart, and so deduct $23. This is actually kept by a bunch of different people out there, guys, a bunch of different people. Number seven, it's the first possible worldwide currency. What I mean by that, it's the first possible worldwide currency, is if, let's say we're in a world where everybody uses Bitcoin, right? Everybody uses Bitcoin, understands Bitcoin. I could go to France on vacation, see a guy with a nice gold watch on, and say, hey, you know what? I want to buy that gold watch from you. I don't even have to say that to him. I could just point at his watch and be like, and show him on my phone one Bitcoin. I'll give you one Bitcoin for that. And if he uses Bitcoin, he would understand the value of that and either be like, okay, let's do it, or no, let's not do it. Right now, if I was to go to France and try to do that same type of thing, and I held out $2,600 bills, right? Because I think Bitcoin's at around $2,600 right now. So if I hold out $2,600 bills, then that's $2,600, right? He's going to look at me and be like, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good, that's a lot of money or a little bit of money. He could do the math on it eventually and, you know, pull out a calculator and be like, okay, so, you know, our currency's trading at this and yours is at that. Well, let me do the math on that. Okay, now we can do it. Like it's a whole different ballgame if everybody's using that one currency. It's like when I went down to Mexico recently, get some dental work done. By the way, I always go to Mexico, call me cheap or whatever. I'm not paying for damn dental insurance. I live so close to Mexico, it's ridiculous. So it's a like 6-hour ride. It's no big deal, guys. So anyways, I'm down in Mexico and I actually just needed to get a cleaning. My wife and I got a cleaning. By the way, it was $45 total for both of us to get cleaning, which is like insane. But the lady had to like pull out a calculator because I didn't have pesos on me. I just had cash. I just had US money. So she had to pull out the calculator and do the math, and it ended up being $45. So number eight. Miners create Bitcoins by solving insanely hard mathematical functions. This is the same process that also verifies previous transactions. Previous transactions, guys. So if you want to be a Bitcoin miner, nowadays is really hard. Like, you need like ridiculously complex computers. Like, you used to be able to just do it at your desk or whatever. Nowadays, a whole different ball game, because mining for Bitcoins is a really tough mathematical thing that you need computers running algorithms on, and it's really complex, and we won't even get into that side of things, guys. But basically, that's how new Bitcoins are found, from miners who solve these really hard mathematical type problems, and then a new Bitcoin is formed. And also, it's the same way the ledger is kept accurate out there, guys. Number nine, Bitcoin miners make money from doing this insanely complex work. So you say, why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to solve those problems and buy all that computer equipment and stuff? Well, because they make money off that. They make a percentage, which I don't have the exact percentage, but they make Bitcoins basically off of however many Bitcoins they mine, however many ledgers they keep accurate, things like that, guys. So they do get paid for doing that. Otherwise, I'm sure no one would want to do that crap. Number 10. In the year 2140, so what are we talking here? About 123 years from now. In the year 2140, the last Bitcoin is supposed to be mined. This means there's a finite amount of Bitcoins out there, guys. There's a finite amount of Bitcoins, no different than there's a finite amount of gold in the world or something like that, right? So that's pretty interesting in itself, that Bitcoin can never be diluted. You can't just say, okay, let's go create 500 million more Bitcoins or 100 million more Bitcoins. Like, you can do a currency. You know, if the US wants to say, let's create, you know, 10 billion more dollars, they can do that. Bitcoin, you can't do that. You can't say, let's go make 10 million more Bitcoins at the, you know, when year 2140, it just ends at that point. But it doesn't mean the currency ends. It just means, you know, the currency might have to go up and be even more expensive at that point, because there's a finite amount of them out there, guys. Number 11 here. You can invest in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So some people have done this. I heard a story the other day that a kid invested like 2,000 bucks or something in Bitcoin, or 2,700 bucks or something. Now he's a millionaire. Like, he did it like, I think, 7 or 8 years ago when Bitcoin was kind of like brand new or whatnot. Now he's a millionaire from it. Now, still highly risky. You know, Bitcoin cryptocurrencies are taken more and more serious, but still at this stage, it's not like it's an automatic. Like, Bitcoin is absolutely the future, or cryptocurrencies are the absolute future. So just realize, you could make a lot of money, but you could also lose a lot of money if things fall through or whatever, or if governments don't allow them, things like that, guys. So just understand the risk involved with it. And if you do want to invest in it, the easiest way to invest in it is really just buy a Bitcoin and hope that Bitcoin keeps going up in value versus what the dollar is and those kinds of things. And that's how a lot of investors are making money right now, through these cryptocurrencies. Just buy them and then just hold them. They don't even really care to spend them or whatever. They just buy them, hold them. And then, you know,
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right. I guess we're back. This is Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. I don't know what that was, but it was some information about Bitcoin. I don't know how old it was, but yes. So do we still have our guest on with us right now? I don't know if our guest is still here. Let me look and see if I can figure this out. This is a very interesting radio night. Let's see. I do not see him on. It looks like he is not here. Okay. I don't know what happened to Dave. I don't know what happened to the guest. Robert, are you still here?
I'm here. I'm just going to mess with you for a second. I'm here.
Like, okay. I mean, I can see you on the board, but I'm like, okay, maybe he's on mute, whatever. All right. So basically, what we're going to have to do is invite David back on. I don't know what the heck happened I'm, you know, not happy with whatever happened because I was ready to get the answers for myself and everybody else. But we know this is Radio Land, and we're dealing with technology. So maybe his phone died. Maybe, who knows? A lot of things could happen. So, again, that was some information on cryptocurrency. I don't think we still have our guests here anymore. So what we will do is, Stephanie.
Is there anybody on the board? Any callers on the board?
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Oh, you're still, okay. I thought you were gone. Okay. Okay, so what's your name again, James?
James.
Okay, perfect. Ooh, I'm so shocked I remember. This is crazy. Okay, James, so if people would like to get more information, or like I said, for myself, you know, like even in school, I have to eat things a couple times before I actually digest it and understand it. So do you teach a class or something?
Well, not necessarily, but you can always reach out to me if you have questions. I have a couple different ways you can reach me. And you can go to alambdaweb.com and reach me from there.
Alambda? Can you spell lambda, A-Lambda. For people?
Like say. Lambda, with an A in front. A-L-A-M-B-D-A web.
Okay.
.com.
I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
My question is, you mentioned earlier Monero, as an alternative to Bitcoin. And I think you also mentioned, because I was in and out the studio, but you also mentioned that you're involved in a new cryptocurrency, but you mentioned Monero, and it's right now at 284. Which is a lot more affordable to invest in as opposed to Bitcoin, which is at 17,000 right now. And that video actually that we played for is basically was for beginners, and I understand a whole lot more now about it. He mentioned at that time when he made that video earlier this year, it was at 3,000. So that's pretty within a year. That's a pretty big jump. In Bitcoin.
Right. That's kind of like with Monero, you know, I know Monero is affordable, but you keep in mind that you can buy Bitcoin, you can spend the same amount of US dollars on Bitcoin. For example, let's say you buy $2,500 in Bitcoin. Okay. By March, it'll probably be like $6,000 worth of Bitcoin. Now, if you buy $2,500 worth of Monero, by March, it's probably going to be about 3,000. You're probably only going to get about, you know, a 30% increase.
But that's still an increase, though. Because we haven't realized.
It's more than what you have.
You're still investing
the same amount of money.
Yeah, but let me ask my
question. You're still investing $2,500 versus, and you're doubling your money on Bitcoin versus you're only getting, like $500 off of your $25. Which is only, you know, it's very, you know, that's only technically like, you know, not even 25%, which is still really good compared to a lot of investments. But
now, here's my question,
James. You've got a volatility you got to think about.
Here's my question. Now, in that video, we heard the guy say about it takes a lot of computer power, you know, to mine Bitcoin. And so a lot of us, again, you know, you're talking to black people and we know what the disparity in the income levels are. So I'm just trying to help others out there realize that, hey, you know, but I understand, though, if I'm going to invest $2,500, I'll be better off putting it into Bitcoin as opposed to Monero. But my question is, and hopefully you can answer it. What about mining for Monero? Can't you mine for other cryptocurrencies as well? And would you need as much computing power? Is my question.
You can mine for any currency you want to mine for. It's just a matter of setting it up. Like right now, I have a rig. It's a 7-card 1070 GPU. And it's basically running AMD cards, so 7 cards, running one motherboard, power supply, and it's running Windows, you know, and then the rig basically is in a code room, and it just runs. And, you know, you can mine whatever, you know, you want, really. You just put the mining application on your desktop, and then you have to set your cards up and set them to the right clock speeds, which really isn't really that hard.
Doesn't sound as expensive
either. Getting all the wiring and everything together, but
it doesn't sound as expensive as what he said in the video.
You're still going to spend for that setup. You're going to spend about $5,500.
Okay, all right.
For that setup, and that's going to generate probably around about $15 a day in Ethereum, and then you turn around, you take that Ethereum. And you buy Bitcoin with it. You exchange it for Bitcoin, you know, all week, because it pays out at the end of the week.
Wow.
You know, that's a good strategy. Or you can mine Monero and then turn around and cash out half of it, keep the Monero, and the other half buy Bitcoin with it, or cash it out into cash. You know, you could go either way. You could mine whatever you want. But a more economical way to mine, you've got the choice of doing cloud mining. So you can go on Genesis Mining, or you can go to Sun Mining. Those are platforms where for $1,000, you can get $10 a day back for 2 years from your mining. And you can mine whatever coin you want with that hash power. So for $1,000, you're basically leasing 1 terahash computing power. Like he was talking about, you know, the fast speed. We're talking about a terahash of calculations per second. So most of these blockchains are, you know, 50 terahashes. So it's going to take about 50 seconds to go through it. A regular computer that would take, you know, a 256 computer would take, you know, regular CPU would take that, you know, a couple years to go through one of those blockchains. But these 7-card racks, or, you know, that's only like 280 mega hashes, okay? But if you go on Genesis Mining or go on Sun Mining, you can get a terahash for around $3,000, and that'll get you probably 50, 60 bucks a day off of that. And that's only, keep in mind, that's only for 2 years. Now, if you would have came in the game a couple years ago, they were doing lifetime leases. For $2,000, you get a lifetime, you know, terahash with them, and you're just making coins off that one investment. And there's still platforms out there like that.
Wow.
That will give you longer leases.
So, CeCe, can you see the board?
Let's see here. Can I see the board? Yes, I can.
You have another caller, it looks like. Unless
okay.
That Bucket's Grocery is Brother
Robert.
Like
that.
Is that you, Brother Robert, at Bucket's Grocery?
That's him.
That's me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have another caller. There's other people there, but I don't think we have anybody trying to talk. But if you are you're trying to talk, just press **, and you can come on in and have the conversation with us.
To touch base on what Brother Robert was saying earlier about property and how, you know, as black businesses, we need to start acquiring property, you know, like Monopoly game. You got to buy everything really that you land on. Just make sure you own it. You don't rent it, you know. And as long as you own it in some capacity, you're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get access to that liquid and that dividends that come off of those products. You know, whether it's music, whether it's cryptocurrency, whether it's a building or a two-family flat, you know, or even a laundry formula, you know, any kind of property, you know, we need to take it serious and invest in it, because that's where we're going to get our savings, because no one's going to give us the deals that we give to our buddies, you know. So we need to have that network that we can rely on that's cheaper, you know. And that's what drives these coins and all of these different currencies, is that you have the haves and the have not. You know, the haves get the stuff, you know, half price or free, you know, and then they make everybody else pay double and triple for it. You know, you got these executives, you know, they work out in the county and all of that, and they're, you know, making, you know, $500,000 a year, and all their buddies are working with them. You know, they got access to gas for free. You know, they got access to groceries for free. They have all these different perks, you know, and then they turn around and the regular person has to pay full price for stuff. You know, so we got to keep in mind we need to start owning things so we can give those deals and, you know, breaks to the people we want to give breaks to.
Well, how would, let me ask you this question. So, you know, how would one start converting into this? Like, I, we're talking to people who have no clue. So if I want to get in on this cryptocurrency, is there a phone number I'm supposed to call? Is there a website? Is there a multi-level marketing thing? And then, second question, okay, because of the way that we think, let's say my cryptocurrency gets to $20,000 or shares or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I want to cash out. How would you do that? So since there is no real tangible situation here, how do we do those things?
Well, I'll explain. Well, your last point is kind of easy to address. Cashing out is not really that difficult. There's a couple ways you can do it. One, in St. Louis, there's a couple Bitcoin ATMs, and you can go right up to them, and you have your wallet address, and you can pull cash right out of those. You know, they've got a couple $1,000s in them. They can do pretty good transaction. The other way is whatever exchange that you're with, that you're using to trade your coins, like let's say you're lending the coins on BitConnect, or let's just say you own some coins and you're on Coinbase. You know, those are two really good websites to get familiar with, is Coinbase.com and BitConnect.com. Those two companies, they work kind of hand in hand. BitConnect is its own coin. And some of the founders of Bitcoin, and they're all kind of, you know, buddies. And those websites are really good to get familiar with. And if you just Google or search on YouTube for videos about BitConnect, and go to the ones that, you know, have a lot of views, you say how to get started with BitConnect, how to get started with Bitcoin. The easiest way is to go to Coinbase.com. They're going to have you sign up. On Coinbase, you can only buy three coins. It's Litecoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin. When you sign up for the page, you'll have to download an app onto your phone. It's a two-factor authentication app that'll let you authenticate, and it'll know that it's you and what computers you use it from and things like that. It needs to figure that out. Once it's figured out, you know, who you are, they might ask for a picture of your ID. They might not. Initially, when you set it up, they're going to ask you, how would you like to fund the account? To fund the account, you have a couple of choices. You can wire money directly into it from a bank. That takes a couple of days. You can connect it to your debit account and send cash right in like a regular deposit, like you're paying a bill. But from in the website from Coinbase, you can just say how much money you want. It'll connect to your web or to your bank's website, and it'll just withdraw the money, and it'll be in your Coinbase account. Once it's in the Coinbase account,
Coinbase.com.
Right, Coinbase.com.
Base. Coinbase, B A S E.
Right. Base. Right. B A S E.
Right.
So if I am like, okay, wait, let me ask you this. Okay, so I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I definitely want to, I want to get into this right now, but I only have $50. So you can still get into Bitcoin and pay $50, right? Because you don't have to have a certain amount to get in. That's not the way it works, right?
That's right. Okay. That's right. There's a couple fast ways you can do it. Like you can go straight to a Bitcoin ATM, and if you already have a wallet ID, and there's a lot of different ways to get a wallet ID, you can just buy it from the ATM. If you don't have a wallet ID, you go to Coinbase, set up something, and you'll get one. You'll create one. Once you get familiar with the site and start clicking around, you'll figure it out.
I have a wallet ID with my iPhone. Is that a different kind of wallet, or is it the same wallet?
Probably a different kind of wallet. No, that's a different type of wallet, but that's similar with the iPay, and you can send money back and forth. It's a similar idea.
Okay.
So only difference is, and I'm surprised Apple hasn't come out with their own currency yet, but that's a different story.
Wow. Well, they're probably starting to. I mean, that's very interesting that you say that. I mean, I kind of feel like an old lady right now. I'm like, I feel myself being irritated. I don't feel like learning all this stuff right now.
Well, don't think about it as like you're learning something new. Really, it's the same thing you've been doing, you know. You just think about it as it's like another bank account. Think of it as another bank account, and you're just putting a little money in there, and like an investment account. Just think of it as that, and leave it in for a year and see what it does.
Okay, you know? Well, that sounds easy enough. Yeah. I'm gonna do that tomorrow. I'm definitely going to invest in Monero and Bitcoin tomorrow morning, and hopefully by the end of the week, I will be a zillionaire.
Right?
Hell no.
Sure. I'll tell you, like, I've been investing in this stuff for at least 4 years, and I've known about it for about 10 years. And I was kind of skeptical at first, but one of my buddies at work, you know, he was mining coins, and he had, like, a Jupiter miner, and I wasn't sure what that was. I started looking into it, and I noticed that the stock market around those coins really started blowing up, and the stock market around the hardware is going crazy too. Like, if you want to get, you know, if you just want to invest in the stock market, you know, a smart move, you know, and this is not, you know, financial advice, but this is what I've done, you know, I invest in AMD and NVIDIA and Broadcom and Emerson and companies like that and Intel that make the chips for these supercomputers.
Because so you're investing in the stock market right now?
Yes, I invest in the stock market too, because they go hand in hand with these coins, you know, because they're kind of connected.
Okay, what about the Forex market? Are you doing that too?
No, I'm not. I'm mainly doing the derivatives off the coin, off Bitcoin. So, like, for example, if you look at Bitcoin as a product, the different derivatives, they're starting to list those in the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones, which was just this month they did that. So those are hot ETFs that are out. They've already doubled in 1 week. Look up Bitcoin ETF. And the ticker symbol starts with a G.
Okay.
See it?
Robert, do you see it? Because I know you're looking it up.
No, I'm actually creating my Coinbase account.
Oh, excuse me. We'll just have to play back. But right now, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to Black Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. Please support us every week at blacktalkmediaproject.org. We'll be right back in just a second.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, everyone, we're in the last half hour of Blacks in Business Radio talking Bitcoin. I hope that if you've been listening, you've been gathering information, and you are writing these things down, so that you can...
195.
Robert.
Mm-hmm.
We can hear you talking. Anyway.
Oh.
Right. I hope... Like, what is that? hope that you are gathering information so that you can go into this cryptocurrency with your eyes wide open. Feel free to reach out to us, and we will connect you with the proper information concerning this cryptocurrency. Although we are green at it ourselves, we'll make sure that you get the information. You can reach out to us by email. We are blacks with an S in business at gmail.com. We are blacks with an S in business at gmail.com. If you would like to come on our radio program because you have a tremendous business endeavor that you would like to talk about, we would love to have you on. Connect with us again at we are blacks in business at gmail.com, and we will schedule a wonderful appointment for you to come on and talk. Also, we're open for consultation. Same email address. Reach out to us. We will talk to you about real estate, starting your business, and just all-around consultation. If you need some help, we would love to help you. But let's get back into this Bitcoin conversation. So James was talking to us about getting in the different websites and the different symbols that we should be looking for. So, James, what if people are like me and they need help? Is there a way that they can reach out to you? Do you provide consultation to people in doing this?
I sure do. You can reach out to me anytime. And I've got a website that you can go to, and you can reach, you know, all my information is right on there. You can go to bracketcoin.com. That's BRACKET, coin, COIN, .com. And
okay.
There's a couple links there that you can reach out to me on. You can sign up for our newsletter that's coming out right now. And we're going to be putting out our roadmap for Bracket Coin for 2018. We're going to be releasing that in a couple of days. We'll release the roadmap. And you can reach out to us if you have, you know, just regular questions about Coinbase or about cryptocurrency, and if you're interested in, you know, how to create your own cryptocurrency. That's, you know, something that I've been working on, and, you know, I'm a programmer. I write Python, so if you have questions about software and how all that works, you know, I'm open, you know, from a technical perspective, and I'm also available from a like you said, a consultation perspective. If you just need, you know, have questions and say, you know, how can my business accept Bitcoin? You know, a lot of people might not want to buy Bitcoin, but maybe they have a business like Robert was saying, and he wants to know, you know, how can he get in front of this? You know, there's a couple of different ways. You know, you can invest in Bitcoin. Another way, Robert, is you can trade for Bitcoin. You don't have to just trade coins. You can trade cars, houses. A lot of people are taking Bitcoin for things, you know. Lamborghini is taking Bitcoin now. Subway takes Bitcoin. You know, art shows and things like that, they're taking Bitcoin. Real estate is being sold for Bitcoin, you know, and other types of currencies. So keep that in mind. You know, it's not all about spending your money as much as it's making a deal, you know, and then being open to take Bitcoin for your product, you know, because that's what ultimately is going to make it grow even more.
Hmm. So have you traded for Bitcoin, James?
Yes, I take Bitcoin for all my services. I'll take Bitcoin for anything.
Okay, so if I wanted to have a consultation with you, how much Bitcoin would I need to give you? How does that work? How does it work?
A basic consultation, you can give me in Bitcoin about 0.0001 Bitcoin, which is about, you know, just a basic consultation, about $10. You know, I'll sit down with you just to give you kind of a quick lay of the land, you know. And
okay,
you know,
so $10 in Bitcoin, you'll do a consultation. Great.
Right, for your first hour, right.
Okay. And, wow, see, that's interesting. You said something, say it again.
0.0001 Bitcoin.
Okay, so we're just doing decimals.
Because Keep in mind, one Bitcoin is $17,000.
Right. So we're definitely not giving him one Bitcoin for a consultation, right, because right, he'd be a Bitcoin thousandaire. Yeah.
So you're taking a percentage of one to come up with $10. That's like, I mean, how many? And that what he just gave you is not the accurate mathematical equation. It's beyond that zero, 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 zero. It's a whole lot of zeros. Yeah.
Right, it's very small decimal. It's a rounded number, but I just rounded up because you can't even get it with the Bitcoin calculator. You can do it with a scientific calculator, but you can't do it with the Google calculator.
Right,
right. Okay, now this is where your math comes in from high school or eighth grade or somewhere. I don't know.
Right. So if you want to make it, if you make it easy on yourself, if you put $100 in, put $100 in US, that's 0.01 Bitcoin. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do your school math, what you do is you borrow a zero from the hundreds and you pull it up there with the coin, and that'll make the $10, and that'll make your Bitcoin 0.001.
Oh.
Okay, cool. I had another question. What was it? No, I'm just like thinking now. I mean, if it's increasing that much,
well, it's going up so fast because that's actually $17, actually not $10. So yeah, it used to be $10. I would take 0.001. That would be $10. That's when it was at $10,000. Now it's at $17,000. You send me 0.001 Bitcoin, that's going to be $17.
Okay, so listen, are you doing
so keep in mind this. Everybody that I got that money from a year ago, when I got 0.001 Bitcoin and it was $10, it's worth $17 now, that same money.
Okay, so are we doing a Bitcoin training for children? Because we definitely are beyond just entrepreneurship with children. We need to be able to teach them about the Bitcoin. Is somebody doing that? Are you doing that?
I haven't started doing anything like that. I'm trying to reach into like maybe teenagers, and you know, with the bracket coin. So I'm reaching, trying to reach to them because I think they're interested in sports and athletic sports, and I want to get into the academic coins as well. So not just athletes would have coins, but you would have coins for your different athletes and your different professors. And ultimately, everybody would have a coin. Like, you would have your own coin, and I would have my own coin. We would have our own value based on our tradability. You know, so we would have a million coins, and we would have to trade in those. It's really kind of bizarre, but I see the world kind of going that direction where everybody's going to have their own coin. So yeah, we definitely need to reach into, out to kids and explain to them, not just the technical side, but the economical side of the whole equation. And, if you want to set up something where, if you had an audience of kids, I'd love to talk to them and answer questions and just try to point them in the right direction and, be a resource.
Okay, well, no, I want to do something greater than that because I'm actually in the process of doing something with some after-school program, and I think if we could put together, well, we just probably need to talk off-air, but, I mean, just so people can hear how we do things, like, this is how things get done. We have an organic conversation about what needs to get done, and I believe the younger, the better that you introduce products, services, and information and entrepreneurship to children, the better. Because when they become teenagers, unless you have the ones that are really clued in, they start like closing off and they really don't want to hear. But if you're dealing with like 6-year-olds and up, and even under 6-year-olds, you start planting those seeds, as they grow, they'll come to understand it. And I mean, they might understand it right off the bat, but they'll understand it and be better equipped to deal with the information. So what I think we need to do is put together some classes, like whether it be live or webinar, type of situation where people are getting small doses of information, like children getting small doses of information, and just like have a weekly lesson. Sure. It's not a daily lesson, something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just I just set up the Coinbase account, and as you were saying, Ethereum, that popped up, Bitcoin popped up, I guess it's called Litecoin, that popped
up. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it says I have no buys or sales yet, but you know, right now, Bitcoin is at $17,350.43. And
that's
not even.
What you want to do is you want to wait for it to go down. Get your money. If you get your money in there, wait, watch it. You know, you might want to set an alert or something somewhere, like on Google. You can set alerts and have it alert you when it drops to like 16, you know, and then buy it, because then you know it's going to bounce. It's probably going to go up to 20,000 by tomorrow.
Because just that fast, it just went up to 17,399.
Right. It hit 19,000 today already.
Now it's at 17,400. God damn.
Right. So you got to
think.
Let's
go cash out right now. No, I'm joking.
Right. That's what everybody's worried
right.
about. Everybody's worried
but
that they're going to short the market.
As people enter into the market, like I was saying before, that's actually what's making it go up and go crazy and all that, because it's consumer driven. I mean, that's truly what I believe. So
CC,
I'm not in a frenzy.
CC, a question for something that James just mentioned. A question to James. James, you just said, if I heard you correctly, because my volume was kind of low. Did you say people are worried about people shorting the cryptocurrency market? Did you say that?
Yeah, that's some talk. There's some talk about that.
Because I didn't know you could do it like that. That's like, I know that term from stocks. Like some 9/11 lore was that American Airlines, the airlines involved in the crash into the Twin Towers, that some individuals had shorted that stock. So is that what we're talking about? Shorting, like shorting stock, but they're shorting. Okay.
What I was talking about was the people that have most of the Bitcoin. Like, if you look at the Bitcoin and figure out who has the most of it, you don't know exactly who they are, but you can look at the addresses, the wallets. You don't know who owns them, but you can tell like how much Bitcoin is in them. If they sell a lot of their Bitcoin right now, then that would make the market collapse in half. But if you got to think, if they sell it, then that means somebody bought it. So as long as the person that buys it doesn't have to sell it for less, if they can find somebody that'll buy it for more, then they're good. You know, if they just sit on it, hold on it, you know, hold on to it. But if they sell it to so many different people that basically want a deal, you know, then it's going to make the price go down. Let's say you own $1 billion in Bitcoin, okay? And let's say tomorrow you wanted to sell all of it, right? And you didn't sell it to one person. That's the thing too. Now, if you sold it all to one person, that's a different story, okay? Because it's still concentrated. But you short the market is when you break it up and sell it to a billion different people, and then it loses all its value. It's like popping a bubble. Okay. So the bubble
sort of like
is
what they did with the real estate market.
Right, right, exactly. They sold it off to so many different people that it didn't matter if it popped.
Well, like what David said is this is created so that I mean, this is not the exact words he used, but so that they can have a handle on what everybody's doing financially, you know, and that's just the way it is now. That's what it's going toward. If you you work a job or whatever, it's going to be quite obvious where your money's coming from, where it's going, how much you got, when you spent it, if you broke. I mean, all that stuff is going to be quite obvious. So that's what we're moving
that's the
toward.
Thing, though. You won't have to use, you won't see, like, let's say you wanted to buy something from me. Only thing that'll get recorded would be the transaction. You wouldn't know what you actually sold me.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever's in my wallet, you'll still be able to see it. They'll be able to see it.
Right. Just from an amount perspective, you know, just from an amount. But that's the thing, too. They can't tie that wallet to one person. They don't know who that wallet belongs to. Because you can make as many wallets as you want, and you can get wallets. I can pick a wallet up. If I know your number, you know, if I know all your information, you know, I can send you money to your wallet. You can send money to me if you know my wallet ID. You know.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense, but I don't want to have a zillion wallets. I can't even keep up with my real wallet, so I need to just make sure that I can
keep up with one wallet. Kind of, that's the only bad part. That's the bad part.
Right.
See, it's really, you know, that's the thing. It really should be used as an investment vehicle, and it shouldn't really be used. I mean, you can use it to buy stuff, like in South Korea, they're doing it, you know. And it's working for them.
Well, I'm going to look up that information that you told us. What news did you see that on?
Let me find the article.
Okay. You could actually post it on Facebook, and then Robert can share it. But what we need to do now is... Go ahead.
I just bought $50 worth of Bitcoin.
Okay, make sure you put me in your will.
Say that again.
I said, make sure you put me in your will so I can inherit your Bitcoin.
Yeah, I got the Coinbase mobile app. I just downloaded that to my phone, and that Coinbase mobile app allows you to purchase the Bitcoin, the other two that I mentioned to James, and. And it also allows you to see just where those coins are in terms of value in real time. So,
well, I don't know how you did that, because I'm looking at the Coinbase app and it says minor service outage. There's an outage.
I don't know.
Are you guys in different? Where are you located?
In the other room.
She's like 40, not even 40 feet. She's like 10 feet away from me.
Wow. Well, you're on the mobile app, right, Brother Robert?
I got the mobile app, but then I went to the website, and I registered on the website. And once I registered, there's three steps that you take. You give a phone number. You have to give your banking information. And it was one other thing. And then from there... You're good, you know.
I got it. You know why I got it? Because I went to the App Store instead of Google. When I went to Google, it was not good. But now that I went into the App Store on my phone, it's downloading it. So I'm pretty sure that that's going to be okay. Let's see. Except it's telling me my storage is full. But yeah, let me see. Open. Let's see if it'll let me open it. Okay, it's going into Coinbase, and it's telling me the BTC is $17,311.92. Okay,
yep.
So, yeah, I guess I'm in there, and it's allowing me to sign up if I want to. So, yep, I can do all that. Now, this is the wallet, or not? This is not the wallet?
Yeah, that's a wallet, and that's the thing. Once you make the Bitcoin, they're going to generate your wallet automatically. So what you do is go to account, and on the right, you'll see wallets, and then you have to select Bitcoin wallet on the drop down if you're looking at a computer. I don't have the mobile app.
Wait, cool. Oh, okay. I don't have my computer, so we're both in the same boat. Let me see.
Okay.
I always go and get the mobile app because I'm on the go.
Right. I just worry about security on my phone, and I don't. want anybody to get into my Bitcoin.
Oh.
Got a new caller?
Well, I don't know. Is it greater security on my laptop than in my phone? That's questionable.
Well, that's the thing, kind of, because your phone has a 4G connection that someone can connect to from anywhere in the world. Your laptop doesn't.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we shouldn't be logging in to the from the phone, basically. Well, this, James, this is what we need to do. We need to make sure that we bring you back, like, all the time so that you can update us and talk to us about Bitcoin. But it's, like, really time for the show to go off. We so appreciate you for being the life preserver today, because I don't know what in the world happened to Dave Wren. I'm going to have to call him and find out what happened, but it's okay. So we appreciate you coming on. Again, let people know how to get a hold of you so they can have consultation.
Yes. You can go to bracketcoin.com,
mm-hmm.
or you can go to alambdaweb.com and reach out to me. Or you can even email me at stlouishill@yahoo.com. That's stlouishill@yahoo.com.
All right.
You can, you know,
well, perfect.
There.
Okay. Well,
awesome.
We will
thank
make
you for,
sure
having
that
me
everybody.
On. I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you. Again, come back anytime to talk to us. If you have more questions, reach out to us, you guys. We are blacksandbusiness@gmail.com. And we had a little going on tonight. Hold on. We had a little contest going on tonight. It was for a little drawing, and only one person followed the instruction, and it's one of our previous guests, and it's the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel. So he has won a $10 gift card to Whole Foods. How about that? Yay, Minister of Wellness. Okay, so go ahead, Robert. What were you saying?
Okay, I didn't know anything about the contest, but...
It's in the flyer. It's in the flyer.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, two things. One, I mentioned last week that I'm starting a new venture. I'm definitely looking for denture hygienists, dental technicians. We're going to be bringing to St. Louis a mobile denture lab, which is a company started by Abdul Rashid Shabazz out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He owns a mobile denture lab, has the copyrights to it, the patent on it. No one in the United States can do a mobile denture lab legally unless you go through this brother. So I have the privilege and I've been blessed to actually go and learn this skill. And I want to actually bring this to everybody's attention. If you know someone that is working in the dental field,
I know somebody right now that needs it too.
Okay, so we're looking for people in a dental field who wants an opportunity to be a part of something that I know is going to be very, very large. So you can contact me, Brother Robert, at 314-745-9557, or you can contact me at my email address. It's robert11@gmail.com, and we will definitely look forward to getting with you and filling in the blanks on this whole venture that I'm about to go off into. And the other thing is this brother that you just got to listen to, Brother James Hill. I started working with this brother when he was, I would say, about 11 years, 12 years old. Is that about right, James?
Yes, sir.
Okay, about 11. And one of the things that stand out the most with me with this brother is when I went to the magic show and I met these guys in the shoe industry, and when I got back, this brother here did his first shoe deal, not knowing anything about the industry at that time, but I had enough faith in him to put him on the phone with the shoe company
and to work a deal with a shoe company. Do you remember that, Brother James?
Yes, sir, I do. I remember it was a couple different. We did a couple deals like that, different shoe companies. Yeah.
And now, how old are you now, James?
35.
And see, this is what happens when you invest in young people and give them or show them. And James ran that store on California and Utah, Real One, Robert Earl's Apparel Limited. James used to run that store. James was there when I actually got my deal for my second piece of property. He was there when the white guy came in, and when the white guy came in and saw our store and saw how mannerable this young man was, the white man walked me outside and said, "I want to work with you." And I wind up getting my second piece of real estate at that day. That day is when the deal was done, and that guy's mind and my life, all we had to do was work the numbers out, which wind up he worked the numbers out. But nevertheless, this young brother has been around me for quite a while, and I have been watching him grow from real estate and the computer business and technology as well as cosmetics. So publicly, I just want to say to this young brother that I am so very proud to have met you, brother. And not only that, he's a husband and a great father. So I just want to let you know, brother, on our show, that I am so very proud of you, man. And I thank God that I had the chance to meet you and that we are still to this day talking about the one thing that we've always known to talk about, business. All these years, it's always been about business. It's about business, and that's a beautiful thing to see this young brother grow up to be the man that he has become, the father that he has become, the husband that he has become. And I want to publicly salute you, Brother James, and I thank God that we met, brother.
Brother, I appreciate that. I really do. And you always been an inspiration to me, been a father figure to me. You know, my father wasn't around, so, you know, you took me under your wing at 11. You know, I'd have been running in the streets. All my friends wanted me to steal from you and all of that sort of stuff, you know. And, you know, I had to fight all those demons and fight through all of that and try to stay focused on, you know, the things that excited me, you know, being in fashion and being able to, you know, order shoes and get on the phone with people and work these deals. You know, I like to work deals. You know, and that's where you get the value. That's how you increase the revenue. You know, and you give me that opportunity, just kind of open the gates for my brain to kind of think, okay, where else can I find value? Where else can I find the value where I can extract it and try to solidify it? You know, and teaching me about the real estate. You know, I went, like you said, I went on, you know, I got five properties now, four on one block, and a couple blocks away, I got a couple more, you know. And like you were saying, you know, you've got some deals coming up. I've got a real estate deal right now on Union, 2409 North Union, that I want you to come by and take a look at. But you've always been an inspiration for me, man, just kind of pointing me in the right direction and just opening my eyes to the variety of hustles and business opportunities and investments and just being able to be versatile enough to kind of go into them and just have an open mind and be able to say, okay, you know what? I gotta tear all these walls out, you know, and rip it down to the, you know, rip it down to the brick, you know. I rip all it, you know. Some people would be scared to do that, but that's what you got to do to get to that money.
That's right, brother.
Thank you so much, James, for your attendance, and we look forward to having you on the show as a co-host and host, and helping you further your career and everything that you are wanting to do. But everyone, thank you so much. We have got to end this Blacks in Business program for today. We will definitely talk with you next week, where we will be talking about, let's see, what is it called? Black on Purpose TV. So stay tuned for next week, and we will talk to you soon. Good night.